Hi, everyone. Welcome to Movies with My Mother. I am Lexi.
And I'm Mom Lori.
And today, in honor of the death of Pope Francis and the, what is it, the election, the rise, the ascension?
Installation.
Installation of Pope Leo XIV. We watched a movie called The Pope's Exorcist.
We did. I pulled it out of a hat.
Well, Mom pulled a list out of a hat of cult classic Pope related movies, and I knew that this one was streaming, so that's why we watched it.
And you have never seen this movie before?
No, we watched this blind.
Yes, which is unusual because Alexis has seen every movie ever made.
I've seen a lot of movies, not every movie. This movie is from 2023, which I was kind of surprised it was already listed as a cult classic.
As was I.
It's a hard R.
Yes.
For language, nudity, and probably the amount of sacrilege that goes along with
violence, yeah. Lots of blood and
demonic possession.
Guts and, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was 1 hour and 3 minutes long, and it was directed by Julius Avery.
Yes.
It got a 50% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes.
It got a 45 on Metascore.
Mm-hmm.
And a 6.1 out of 10 on IMDb, which I think is fair.
I do, yes.
Because this isn't a great movie by any stretch.
Oh, no.
Some of the possession stuff was really, really formulaic.
Yes.
But, I mean, I wouldn't say it was a bad movie.
No, absolutely not. But it's not, and wouldn't be a movie that I think everybody would want to go see either.
No, I remember when it was in theater, and I was like, I'd sit down and watch that.
Mm-hmm.
And Justin was like, no. And I was just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. We got a budget of about $18 million.
I saw that.
And a worldwide gross of almost $77
million. Right, which I don't think is a bad number.
No, that's a pretty respectable number for an $18 million budget.
Right.
You've more than made your money back.
Right. But it came with kind of mixed critical stuff.
Again, I think that's because some of the possession stuff, the exorcism stuff was a little schlocky.
Yeah.
It's stuff that you've seen in every other exorcism movie.
Right, right. And I think, you know, if it had been maybe named something different, I mean, but The Pope's Exorcist, that kind of limits just the name feels to me like it would limit the viewers. I don't know. It just seemed to me that way.
Like the chief exorcist of the Vatican. I feel like that's not a job listing that they put out, like, you know?
What that everyone would know of? Yes.
Yeah.
I kind of get that.
I feel like the church's stance on like demonic possession is that like it doesn't happen.
Right. But apparently that is really a job. That really was a title, a job. Really?
Hmm.
We can get into that a little later.
Yeah. Because this is based on a real person.
Mm-hmm.
The tales of a real priest.
Yep, Father Gabriel
Amore.
Right.
Anyways, let's get down to the plot of this movie. The plot of this movie is that in 1987, the Pope's leading exorcist is investigating the demonic possession of an American boy in Spain and discovers a secret the Vatican has tried to keep buried for centuries. That part of the movie was very cool.
Yes, it was. But yeah, that's it. That's the whole movie.
Yeah. But, and I'm not mad at that. I'm not.
No, it direct and to the point, but it had those little bits of side stuff that were pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So yeah.
The cast was Russell Crowe, who I do not like.
No, not a big fan of his, but
I was not mad at him in this movie.
He seemed to be the right person for that job.
Yes.
The right actor for that position, yes.
Daniel Zavato, Alexandra Esso, Franco Nero, Peter D'Souza, Fanny. This is a name that I have zero guesses on. Anyways, Laurel Marsden.
My namesake.
Cornell John, Ryan O'Grady, and Bianca Bardot. That was like the top listing. I stopped after a while.
Right, and those were kind of the main characters. It was the people in the exorcism.
Yeah.
And the family, and those two priests and the Pope.
Yeah.
So you named them all.
Okay.
The rest were just extras. Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah, this movie had a spin on the Spanish Inquisition that I thought was interesting, that the Vatican has tried to hide the fact that a demonic possession at a Spanish abbey really worked its way back to the Vatican, and the work of the Spanish Inquisition was not in the name of the church, it was in the name of Satan. And that is an interesting spin.
Yes.
On history, because why not?
Right. Right. Interesting. Yeah. But that's the way it is, you know? That's what the church preaches, that everything that has happened in this time has been because of the devil, not we're waiting for God's reign to begin again.
Yeah, sure.
Trying to spread a little religion on you and you won't even take it.
I don't need it. Just fine.
Okay.
I have a little bit of trivia, and I only wrote a little bit down because it's all goddamn paragraph form, and I hate paragraph form trivia.
Yes. And I have so little about this director that, you know, we're going to need to spread a lot of it. Literally have half a page about him. Usually the directors I have a couple of full pages. This guy, nothing. I mean, he's that new.
Oh, okay.
This is like his third movie.
Sure.
So, you know, not a lot about him.
Okay.
Let me tell you about him? Tell you what I know about him?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go into the director. Let's talk about Father Gabriel Amorth.
Okay. The director, Julius Avery, is an Australian filmmaker.
Okay.
His first movie was a movie called Red? Oh, Lord. I don't even know what I wrote. But I didn't recognize it. I looked it up and didn't recognize
surfing or skateboarding or
no. I don't know. It didn't stick to me at all.
Okay.
The second. Oh no! That was a short.
Oh, okay.
It was Jerry Can. That's what it was. A short.
Okay.
And his first movie was in 2014, a movie called Son of a Gun.
Never heard of it.
Nope, me either. He grew up in Australia. He attended the Victorian College of the Arts.
Okay.
He has a production company called Bridal Path Films.
Oh, okay.
He produces the shorts that he has done. He has produced through that.
Oh, okay.
This film, The Pope's Exorcist, is called a supernatural horror film, which, you know, sure, whatever. And okay. It is based on the book, the 1990 book, An Exorcist Tells His Story, and then the later book, An Exorcist, More Stories by Father Gabriel. So, you know, this is kind of all true stuff.
Okay.
That's what I got. I mean, there's not a whole lot about this guy. But I found that in the past, just recently, that some of the less well-known people are just kind of shy on this search stuff, but whatever.
Oh.
So, but I thought that this was, overall, I thought this picture was well made. It looked very, very beautiful, really.
The film was stunning.
Yes. When they were in that abbey, the home, that was all kind of creepy cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was visually very, very beautiful movie. Stuff in the Vatican, even. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, at the end when they're in the Vatican archives, that's the shit I want to see. I want to see that stuff. God damn it.
That was all conjecture because no one has ever seen that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But I would give my left arm to even just watch a video stream of somebody walking through.
Right. Just a peek through the keyhole.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Father Gabriel claimed that he had done more than 60,000 exorcisms.
60,000?
Yes. Some
Jesus.
There is also some estimation that it was 160,000.
Lord.
And he gained recognition from his work in demonology and exorcisms.
Okay.
And he said that some of the exorcisms were because people have lost faith and because of superstitions. That the superstitions have taken their places. And and that's what opened the doors for these devils and demons to possess people, which I think is true. I mean, you know, like when they shot that pig, I don't understand exactly why they shot that pig, but then the people claim, or that one guy claimed that it was animal sacrifice. I didn't get that, but
no, because what he did was he told the demon, because I don't think he thought that person was possessed.
Right.
I think that he was showing that person that you can cast the demon into something else and we'll kill that and you'll be free and you can, you know, resume normal life.
Right.
It definitely wasn't animal sacrifice.
No, I didn't get that at all.
It wasn't ritual at all.
No, it wasn't.
You would think something like animal sacrifice or human sacrifice, that all has a lot of ritual around it.
Yes, correct. That's what I think.
It was just a pig that got shot in the face.
But because it was squealing and everybody was all hyped up and excited and wow.
Yeah.
The pig was the casualty.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so he did feel that, and he talked, they said that in the movie, that there were some of the, so many things that we consider possession are mental illness or illnesses that aren't explained.
Yeah.
So, you know, and is that part of that huge number, 60,000? Is that part of that huge number? So, I don't know.
Well, there have been, like, historical exorcisms that go wrong.
Uh-huh.
Like, the case of Annalise Michelson from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
It ended up that between her family and the priests that had come in to exorcise her for days and days, like, something crazy, like 80 days. She was beaten and starved. They didn't relieve any of her problems.
Mm-hmm.
She was beaten and starved. And her family and the priests involved did go to jail. It was a whole thing.
Yes.
And, you know, was she mentally ill? Was she, did she have, you know, medical problems that could be explained? I think so, but I think that religious fervor then took over, and she couldn't have been told anything other than that she was possessed.
Correct. I agree with you.
And stuff like that, I guarantee happens the world over.
Oh yes. And that's, you know, sometimes when you think about the witch trials, maybe they were seizures. Someone was having a seizure. You've seen a person with a seizure. They are frightening. It is a frightening situation
It is.
when someone has a seizure. And if you don't have any knowledge of anything like that, absolutely the devil is in them.
I also do believe that, you know, stuff like the Elizabeth Bathory legend, where, you know, she bathed in the blood of hundreds of slave girls to keep herself young and beautiful. I believe that that was all stories of men that couldn't take her autonomy.
Absolutely.
And I would not be surprised in something like the witch trials that something like that wasn't a factor too.
Right. And also, I just saw something on TV about some of the witch trials. And there was a case that three or four young girls had been claimed to be witches. And it turned out that it was some kind of a toxin in the food that they had been made ill by the toxin in the food.
Like mercury poisoning or something?
No, it was not like mercury. It
Not like
was
a
a
heavy metal?
no, it was a yeast or something in that had formed and
Oh, like fermented?
fermented. Yeah,
Oh,
yes.
dear.
And that it had affected that family of girls. And you know, they thought they were witches.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's in most cases it's ignorance.
Absolutely.
I don't really claim to be a religious person, but I certainly think that there are people that are possessed by the devil that, you know, they want to be possessed by the devil. So, you know, it happens. I have to think that. But I don't know. That's just me, I guess. Or do you think it's just people being awful?
I think, well, definitely do have, I do think that there is people using something like that to excuse
Poor behavior.
abhorrent behavior. But I, you know, because I don't believe in any of, I, my belief system is very small. I don't believe in anything. I don't, you know, I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in gods and devils. And, you know, I don't think that when I die, I go anywhere. I think my energy just is absorbed into the universe, and that's the end of me.
Yes.
And I don't, I, and I, and I can't understand. I can't understand the people that do believe that they're possessed, because I can't imagine being so fervently religious that something like that could happen in my world. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But I do very much see that people are using the name of God and the name of Satan in ways that both would find and antithetical to their missions. So, you know, I do believe there's a lot of bad actors, you know, in the name of the devil, in the name of God. I do believe that, but I don't necessarily believe that you are possessed.
Okay, that kind of puts a different light on the way I think. You know what? I'm gonna have to think about that now. I hadn't put that type of back to it.
That's taken years to kind of piece that together. Because, you know, as a child, you know, religion is explained to you and given to you as a tool. And I, you know, religion had never done anything for me.
Right. You know, and the fact
my prayers were never answered. And I felt a bit jaded about that. But am I jaded or am I just a rational thinker?
Right. Okay. Then the fact that I was never really a devout anything through your childhood. Religion was really not part of our lives much.
It was for a while, I remember.
Yeah, for a while, but not.
Well, that's when you were in a cult.
Yeah. I've always been in a cult. I am in the cult of myself. But, you know, overall, I would say religion is not a big part of my life.
No.
Went to church every Sunday when I was a kid, went to Catholic school, went to church every, you know, once a week during school. But you know what? It wasn't part of me. It was just the regular routine.
Right.
So, you know, and okay. I think I'm going to have to think about possession differently, aren't I?
Because I just don't think that, because if I had to allow for something like demon possession to be real, I would have to allow for a lot of other things to be real that I can't.
Right.
I just can't put stock in.
In the religion area. Okay.
Because, you know, if possession is real, then ghosts are real. Then my house is for sure haunted.
Well, we know that it is.
Listen, the other day I was sitting here minding my business. The cats were doing their thing. Justin was dead in the other room. I'm sitting here minding my business, and a door that has not moved made a noise like it moved. And I said, I'm sorry, what? And I sat here in silence, and the cats just kind of minded their own business. And I'm sitting here, and I heard that noise again.
And then she had to call me about it.
Because, like, how? Look at how weighted down that door is.
She's got cat litter boxes stacked up in front of it. Now, it won't move.
Now, when the door was making its noise, the litter boxes weren't there.
No, I know they weren't, because I told you, let's put something heavy in front of it.
But, like, look at the top of that. There are no less than 15 jackets on top of that door.
And they've been there for the whole of winter.
Forever. That's just where they go.
Right.
So how did that door move by itself?
I think that your house is settling, or there was a wind came through the front door because it's directly across from your front. It could be anything.
Listen, so a gust of wind came through yesterday while Justin was pretending to mow the lawn. And I was sitting here, you know, again, minding my own business. Torturing my Sims, because I've created a new Sims family, and I'm just wreaking havoc in their lives.
Oh dear.
And a gust of wind came through, and I swear to God the house moved an inch, because everything moved. Door didn't squeak.
Maybe we had an earthquake yesterday.
Oh no. But the whole house moved.
Oh my goodness.
And I was just like, what in the hell is happening? Did a tornado pass by?
Does he have a really powerful blower out there?
He wasn't even out there mowing the lawn. He was sitting in the garage drinking. I know that's what he was doing.
He was thinking about mowing.
But I swear to God, the house moved over an inch.
Oh my goodness.
Because that gust of wind came through, and I don't know how it didn't. But that goddamn door didn't move or squeak or nothing.
Everything else moved, but the door did not.
No.
So, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Who knows? My house has all kinds of crazy sounds all the time. So, you know, I don't think much about little sounds in my house anymore.
Yeah.
But
I only think about them when I hear them. It's just like, why am I hearing something? Why does it sound like a solitary footstep upstairs?
Right. Why is it one footstep? It always is one.
Yeah.
I've never heard that. Oh, someone just walked across the whole, this whole ceiling. No. One footstep.
One footstep. Just. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I do think that Grandpa lives with me. I think that Grandpa came with me when
we
moved.
Cool.
So that's all right.
That's a comforting thought. And, you know, I love that for you, but also I don't believe that.
But, you know, like, you see that movement out of the corner of your eye, and that's what I think it is. It's probably just a shadow, or the cat moving, or a dust bunny floating around.
Uh-huh. But
I think it's Grandpa.
Okay.
But we all know that I am possessed.
Sure. I've no, met you.
That's the mental illness part of this equation. Oh, my goodness. All right, this movie was released by Sony Pictures, and as you said, it had, pardon me, made $77 million worldwide. It made $20 million in the U.S. and Canada, and $57 in other territories.
Okay.
And then in late 2023, it was released on Netflix, and it ranked number one for 9 straight days.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so somebody must have watched it.
Yeah.
You know, to have it be number one for 9 days. So, yeah. Okay, let's see. What else do I get? It was filmed in Ireland from August to October.
Okay.
The development began way back in 2020 when, what did I write there? Oh, Screen Gems. It's a production company. Got the rights to the book that Father did. And originally, Angel Gomez was hired to direct the film. But in mid-2022, Avery was brought in to take care of it. Which I thought that's kind of interesting. And we've read that in, we've seen that in a couple of other movies where they had a director and then they were replaced by, you know, how does that happen? Do the directors get a better deal on a different movie or something? I don't, but I didn't recognize that Angel Gomez name either. So
I feel like I do, but like, there's no bells.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it sounds familiar, but I have no idea why.
Interesting. Let's see. The director was Avery. He told a magazine that he had become aware of Father Gabriel's story from a documentary that he had seen. It was called Devil and Father Amorth. God. Father Amorth. And when he got the script and thought it was, he thought it was all made up. So then he did more research and learned that Father was for 36 plus years the exorcist of the Pope, exorcist for the Pope. So, you know, it's said that Father was rather a timid man, sort of a Dirty Harry or Columbo type guy, but he always dug and dug and dug and dug until he got the truth. So I thought that was an interesting little tidbit.
I can see the Columbo part because he also had a little, you know, a couple little jokes here and there. And it was just like, well, we don't really need humor in this situation. I can see why you're doing it, but we don't really need it.
Right. Right. I thought that was interesting that it was filmed mostly in Ireland. But they've got lots of castles all over Ireland and
Yeah,
England.
I'm sure there's, Catholicism is something Ireland has been fighting over for centuries.
Right.
So I'm sure there's lots of abbeys and religious places there.
Yep.
And that building was cool. That
Yes.
building was really, really cool.
It was, and when the lightning was striking it, first thing I thought of was Clue movie.
But they said
Don't think that.
it was Saint Sebastian's Abbey, and Saint Sebastian is a martyr. It's a whole thing.
Was he from Spain? Did you look that up?
No. Well, he it looks like he was. Oh, he was born in the Roman Empire, and he died in Rome.
Okay, so how they do things like that is whoever built that place felt that Saint Sebastian was his protector, and if he needed something, if a person needed something for God, from God, you would go through the saint, your saint, to get something from God.
Oh, that's that explains why churches are,
Yes.
this is Immaculate Conception and this
Yes.
is Holy Rosary and
Yes.
okay.
Yes. You go through your patron saint or your, guardian to get that.
Okay.
And anything that's rosary or anything like that, it's Mary, Mother Mary.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how that works. And I only know that because I watch a lot of TV. You just don't watch the crazy stuff I do. So that's how I know stuff like that.
Well, I know, and I know, and I only know this from reading, just from past books I've read. Saint Sebastian was part of his martyrdom was that he was tied to a tree and shot with arrows that he survived. He survived being struck by all these arrows, and that he was healed by Irene of Rome, and then he was beaten to death.
Dang, he lived through that and then beaten to death.
It also said that he had a whole thing where he was not as bothered by plague, and a lot of people turned to Saint Sebastian in times of plague.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's not a saint that I know of, so
Like I said,
cool.
I only know him from an Anne Rice book. An Anne Rice non-vampire book.
Right.
Cool.
See, that's how we get stuff. That's how we learn stuff. Like I said, I watch weird TV. I watch documentaries. I watch stuff about the castles of England and so that you pick up stuff like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, cool.
Cool.
The first release of this movie was in India, which I thought,
There's a
what?
large Catholic population there.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
That's where Mother Teresa was.
Of course. Of course. And then it came to the United States. And the weekend it opened, it went up against. Now you're going to have to help me on this because I don't recognize these either.
Okay.
Renfield?
Oh, that was with Nicholas Holt and Nicholas Cage.
Okay, Sweetwater?
I don't know what that is.
And Mafia Mama.
Don't know what that is.
Okay. I thought, wow, all
But I do
right.
know what Renfield is.
Okay.
Renfield in Dracula lore is the first realtor that's sent to Transylvania to work the Carfax Abbey deal with Dracula. And he falls under Dracula's spell. He's bitten by Dracula. And he kind of goes insane.
Okay.
And so he gets back to England and he's just being nutty as shit. And they put him in an asylum And he's still trying to do Dracula's bidding while living off of bugs.
Okay.
And when Dracula comes, you know, as Dracula gets closer to him, the madness is ramping up. And I think he just kind of dies awfully.
Oh, okay.
But that's in, but this is that Renfield movie was like a modern retelling with you know, Renfield is a young, as a young man, and he's in like a therapy group for, you know, having, you know, hard ass bosses that are like their dads or something.
Okay.
And it's a, it was a whole thing. I don't like that guy, so I never saw the movie.
All right. All right. Well, and because none of these movies sounded familiar to me at all, because this was the second week of the Super Mario Brother movie.
Oh.
None of those movies had a chance.
No.
Because everybody has heard about the Super Mario Brothers.
I've been seeing it, and it was great.
And that's why this movie only made $3.5 million on its first week, which... that's nothing.
And it also, horror movies, when they open outside of like spooky season, they don't fare well unless it's like Oscar baits.
Okay. All right.
So, you know.
Yeah, you're right. That makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes. I read a little thing from that Rotten Tomatoes talked about it. They said it was a standard issue holy horror movie. But the stars did well.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's exactly the standard movie. But even though we didn't like Russell Crowe and we watched this movie, he did a good job.
He did an okay job.
From what I have read about Father Gabriel, he portrayed him perfectly. So, you know.
Ooh.
Interesting. Oh, and the International Association of Exorcists called the film pretentious and questioned who the real enemy really is. Well.
Oh, well, brother. Okay.
Go figure. There's an International Association of Exorcists? Really?
It's probably just a bunch of fucking dorks. I'm an exorcist. Shut the fuck up.
Oh, my goodness. And a lot throughout the movie, Russell Crowe, when the movie came out, a lot of people were the Golden Raspberries said that he had the worst Italian accent that they'd ever heard, which is funny because he is fluent in Italian. His parents spoke Italian. One of his parents spoke Italian. So I thought that was pretty funny that they thought his accent was bad, but
You know,
almost a native speaker.
Russell Crowe is Australian, and I'm sure, you know, that's a real complex accent as it is. So I'm sure putting Italian on top of that would make it sound completely different than an Italian speaking person speaking Italian.
Right.
So why can't we suspend our belief a little bit?
We have to, because we've seen plenty of movies where, you know what, that movie we watched, that the Spanish guy was played by an Irish guy who was played by all kind of crazy stuff. Remember that movie?
The Highlander.
Yes.
Where the only Scottish person in the movie played an Egyptian person playing a Spanish person.
Right. We've got to, you know, we can't be thinking about stuff like that when we're watching a movie, but we do. That's the stuff we think about.
Well, sometimes in a movie like The Highlander, where the accent work is so bad, it takes you out of the movie.
It does.
This I had no problem with.
Nope, not at all. Not at all. Even after I had written that down, I didn't find any problem with him speaking.
No.
And he did not sound like an Australian guy.
No.
Because they have... I don't watch Australian TV. Because I can't stand it. Everything ends in a question. I can't stand it. Sorry, Australia. Sorry.
Well, maybe they'd be able to tell us why everything ends in a question.
I don't know if I want to know. Oh, well. There was talk of a sequel.
Well, it made enough money.
And there was an announcement of a sequel.
Okay.
But nothing came of it.
Well, there's still time. It's only, probably like a year and a half between when it was in theater and right now.
Right. That we're talking less than a couple of years. Some of these stuff we talk about sequels are 20 years.
Yeah.
You know. So, I'm okay with it.
The only thing is there, though, is that the oversaturation of exorcism movies comes in and people get burnt out on
it. Right. And again, this movie was good enough. Don't bother making another one. We don't need another one.
Yeah, if I want to know more, I'll read one of his books.
Right.
He said they were good.
He did. They were good, he said. Absolutely. So, yeah, you know, so...
I was impressed when he was just like, I'm a theologian. I'm a lawyer. I'm a journalist. Like, those are big... Those are three big jobs. And that guy is one human being doing all of those jobs is wild to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, most priests don't start out their lives as... You don't go from high school to be a priest.
Sometimes you do.
Well, some do. Some do, but most go... To a different, they go into something, and then they go into the priesthood.
Yeah,
you know. So there's a lot of lawyer priests out there, you know, and doctor priests and stuff like that. So
yeah,
you know, it's okay. It's okay. Oh, well, I don't know. And usually when we think of exorcism, we think of Catholics.
Yep.
And because it's felt like they have a well-defined process. And there's also traditions in the Eastern Orthodoxy, which used to be Catholic.
Used to be Catholic, yeah.
Lutherans also have their processes. Catholic lights, Martin Luther.
Yeah.
You know, and Martin Luther was also an Anglican monk, which Father Gabriel was an Anglican, and our new Pope is an Anglican. So it all is a big circle.
Okay.
You knew that.
I always thought that Anglicans were Church of England, and those people aren't Catholic.
Oh, did I write the wrong word down there?
I don't know, because I think it can be used both ways. But whenever I hear the word Anglican, I think of the Church of England.
Right, because the Anglican Church also has processes, because they were
Catholic until Henry VIII
wanted a divorce, so he said we're going to have this church. So, Baptists and Evangelicals and Pentecostals also have some sort of exorcism type ritual.
I would think that if you have a belief in God and you have a belief in the devil, that you would have to have room in your religious study for something where both worlds meet.
I guess. I hadn't thought of it that way either, but
I mean, I would think that all world religions have room for something like that. There was a movie that came out years ago. What's it called? I think it was called like The Possession, and it had to do with a divorced man and his kids, and they were moving into a new house, and they had gone to a garage sale, and one of the kids picked up a Dybbuk box.
Uh-huh.
Which in the Jewish faith was something to ward off demons. And that was a very interesting tale, because you don't see Judaism usually talking about demons,
right,
and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, obviously, I'm sure they have their own processes.
Right. Absolutely.
Because again, they have dealings with God and the devil. So why wouldn't they?
Yeah, you're right.
And remember when we took that cake class, that cake decorating class, and we had that Indian woman was our teacher?
Yes.
And I remember her clearly saying, because the phone number she used was associated with the Hindu temple of Toledo.
Oh,
and
okay.
I remember her saying, my husband is Hindu, I am Catholic.
Yes. Yes. I do remember that.
Isn't that weird? The little stuff I remember.
Oh my gosh, yes. And I remember that too, but it was in the back. Yes, we were Facebook friends with her. I was Facebook friends with her for a long time. Long time. Oh my goodness, I can't think of her name.
I remember the lady after that. I don't remember the Indian lady. I don't even remember what her name was, but I am still friends, Facebook friends with the lady that we took like flat two with.
Okay. All right. Oh my goodness. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Such strange stuff that we think about.
Yeah. But again, I would have to think that every religion has some sort of demonology in their books.
Right. Okay.
Ed and Lorraine Warren, known American shysters, were said to be anointed by the Vatican as like the only non-Catholic demonologists in the world.
Okay.
Do you know who Ed and Lorraine Warren are?
The name is familiar, but no.
They were the ones that said that the Amityville house was haunted.
Wow.
They are the couple that they've made a whole series of movies based on them. And I think the last one is coming out soon or in the next year or so. Conjuring.
Uh-huh.
But really, they were just shysters.
It, as it turned out, yeah.
They were just writing books to make money. And they were grifters. But again, if you believe in that kind of stuff, maybe they weren't. I think they were just grifters.
Well, I mean, don't you think Augustinian? That's the word I was looking for. Augustinian.
The new pope is Augustinian.
Yes.
Okay.
What did I say it was?
You said Anglican.
It was not Anglican. Augustinian.
Okay.
Sorry. My mind was thinking so hard.
Okay.
That's why you had to ask me some, you know, wave your hand in my face type things.
Like you said, Anglican is the...
Yes.
Is the Church of England.
Augustinian is the group that he is with, and the group that Father Gabriel was with, and the group that Martin Luther were with was the Augustinian monks.
Okay, that makes more sense.
And then I'm trying to think about what you're saying. I'm sorry. I'm paying attention. Really, I am. I had to find that word. But yes, so, you know, I think when stuff like that happens, that it has to be, this is the way we can make some money.
Yeah. I also believe that, you know, like the water drips that look like Jesus. I also think that those are man-made.
Yeah.
You know, when you see Jesus in your tortilla,
or
that's
on my
man-made.
Toast and stuff, or a cloud in the sky. I see lots of stuff in clouds in the sky.
Yeah.
I can't say I've ever seen Jesus.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you see that, and often when they show pictures of stuff like that, I can't see it. I can't. I can see that there's some kind of a shape there, but Jesus, no.
That's why I think they're all like hand drawn and fake, because sometimes they look so much like, you know, the American version of Jesus that it's just like
the white Jesus. Yes,
somebody drew this on a tortilla, like, and then you know, maybe burnished.
Okay. Made it toast that way.
Yeah.
You know, like you can put a cookie cutter on a piece of bread and put it in the toaster and that shape will come out.
Yeah.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
You know, and the water drip that looks like Jesus. I think somebody draws that. Because how do they all look like the same Jesus?
Right. Right.
And how does Jesus, born in Israel,
right,
which at that time was not Israel, which was definitely an Arab nation, how was Jesus born with white, light brown hair and
right,
blue eyes? That's not a thing.
Nope.
I also love the people that, like, my mom has this picture of Jesus on her mantelpiece, and it's like it's Ewan McGregor playing Obi-Wan Kenobi from like Star Wars part 5. Like, that shit makes me laugh so hard.
You know, I watch those reels and I watch the stupid stuff on TikTok, and you had sent me a Imagine Biscuit thing recently.
Uh-huh.
Was it you that sent that to me?
I don't know.
Imagine Biscuit have this little TikTok thing they do. And one day, Biscuit wanted something, Alexa to play something, and it scared Madge. And she said, "Because Christ is black." Oh. And then in the background, Biscuit's going, "He was. He was, wasn't he?"
He was definitely very much more brown than American Jesus is.
Yes, absolutely.
So this is how I know that American religion is all bullshit.
I don't know. Do they have pictures of Jesus in Rome that look like that?
I don't know.
I don't know either, but Jesus is not white.
No.
He could not have been white.
At that time in the world, there weren't white people in that area.
There were not white people there. No. No. So, you know, that's craziness, but again, that's our own opinion, and if you have a different opinion, that's okay. All right.
It's wrong. You can have that opinion.
Correct. Okay. What do you have?
Well, I've got a little bit of trivia. Like I said, it's all paragraph form, so I actually have the page opened up on IMDb, too, because it's just such a pain in the ass.
You don't paraphrase stuff? I'm just going to read stuff.
Stuff is just so long, and you need all of the context. The Pope in this film is a fictional version of Pope John Paul II, because that's who would have been Pope at the time of 1987.
Okay.
Alexandra Esso is only 9 years older than the girl playing her daughter, Laurel Marsden.
Who was like, what?
What would you say that woman?
18-ish?
Yeah, she probably was 16 to 18.
She's like, now she's only like 23 or 25 or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the film, the demon's name is Asmodeus.
Mm-hmm.
In sacred Jewish text, there is an Ashmedai, who is the king of demons.
Yes, yes.
And he has spent time in the company of King Solomon as a prisoner before fleeing back to his domain. Now, you know, all of that biblical history. Did that shit really happen? I don't know. Is King Solomon a real person? I don't know.
He was. He's gotta be. I mean,
okay.
Isn't, well, yeah, you know what? I don't know. Are any of them real?
don't know. That's what I'm saying. Huh. While researching his character, Russell Crowe discovered that Father Amorth's favorite film was The Exorcist. So much so that he became good friends with The Exorcist director, William Friedkin, who later directed the documentary, oh, The Devil and Father Amorth.
Oh.
It would be the second to last film that Friedkin directed before he died.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, that would be interesting to watch.
Yeah, it would. It would.
The last thing that I wrote down, but I will look at some more of the trivia, is that the name Amorth or Amort is an archaic adjective that means utterly dejected, crest, lifeless, or listless.
Oh.
The word Amort is short for all Amort, which comes from the Middle French phrase all Amort, which means to the death. First known use of this was in the year 1546.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's so cool. I don't think priests take different names. I think that that was his given name. You know, like nuns take different names, but I don't think priests do.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I think that that was his real name. Cool.
There was a nun that I dealt with when I worked at the farm in Oregon. And what was her name? Her name was like Sister Mary Anthony. That lady was a raging bitch. Every time I talked to her, she was just so nasty. And I was just like, why are you, aren't you supposed to be nice? Like, I can match your energy really fast.
Well, when you're married to God, I guess you're above everybody.
Mm,
okay. Oh, dear.
Russell Crowe came up with the idea of Gabriel Amorth riding a Lambretta, and he was inspired by seeing the priests driving through Rome on Lambrettas, the little Vespa that he drove, and wanted to include it in the film. Now, recently I have seen a meme, and it is Russell Crowe on the Lambretta, but it said that it was white people when they hear green bean casserole is going to be at the function. And I, of course, had to send that to Justin because every year I make him green bean casserole only because he likes it.
Yes. And he gets it once a year. Not twice a year. But yeah, that's what it is. He was racing to the green bean casserole. You should put that on the website because that was adorable.
Okay, I'll find it and I'll do that. Russell Crowe met with friends of Father Amorth, including one who had accompanied him on over 150 exorcisms in order to better know the character he was playing. I think that was pretty cool.
Wow. Yeah.
In an interview with Daniel Zavato, who played Father Escobar, he said in his research, he found out that Father Amorth would often keep a sense of humor when conducting exorcisms because though the devil enjoyed irony, he hated humor. The example of demons liking irony is prominent in the scene where the possessed child causes the cross to fall off the wall, saying, "Did God allow that?" And the demon's disgust for humor is noticeable in the next moment where the child says, "You can't hide behind your jokes forever, Gabriella."
Yep. 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 Oh, cool. I think it's all interesting.
There's a brief scene, which I didn't notice, where Father Amorth is walking away from the Colosseum in Rome. In an interview, Russell Crowe confirmed that this was kind of a wink and nod to his role in the movie Gladiator that took place in the Colosseums of Rome.
Oh, I don't believe I saw that either.
And that is the end of the trivia on IMDb.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot.
Oh, wait, that says there's 9 more. Hold on.
It's so often we see pages and pages and pages. No.
The Pope in this film, portrayed by Franco Nero, is a fictionalized rendition of John Paul II. Yeah, we already discussed that.
Mm-hmm.
The explanation of the meaning of the round medal that Father Gabriel uses in the film is the reverse side of a Saint Benedictine medal in reverse. I don't know what that means.
You know, the front side and the back side.
Okay.
On the front side is a picture of Saint Benedict, and on the back side was maybe his crest or his thought. I don't know. I don't know what that would have been.
When the Pope was complaining about the current generation of priests not believing in the real existence of the devil anymore, that young cardinal that was just hammering in to Father Amorth in that little tribunal, he mentioned about 200 fallen angels being expelled from heaven. The account of this incident is taken from the Book of Enoch,
mm-hmm.
which was also found among the Dead Sea Scrolls. Enoch mentioned that 200 angels, who were called the Watchers, lusted after human women and came down to earth on Mount Hermon in the days of Jared, mm-hmm. who was Noah's father.
Mm-hmm.
These fallen angels cohabitated with human women and produced giants of human-angel hybrid called the Nephilim.
Yep.
The infamous Goliath was one of them.
Yep.
While this account was told in the details in the Book of Enoch, it was only briefly mentioned in Genesis chapter 6 as the preface for the flood of the Noah accounts.
That's why we had the flood in Noah's account, because of the giants and the debauchery of the Watchers.
The insignia in the well, which Father Escobel says represents the Spanish Inquisition, you remember that?
Yes.
Is actually the insignia from the video game Dragon Age Inquisition.
That's okay.
Franco Nero previously had a significant part in the similar exorcist film, The Rite. I believe Anthony Hopkins was in that movie. Also written by screenwriter Michael Petroni, though his scene was cut from the film.
All right.
And that's the end of the trivia.
Okay. Well, I mean, like I said, this is such a new movie that there's not a whole lot of stuff that we were able to see.
Uh-uh.
I think. You know, and so often the movies we look at and talk about, most everybody's dead.
Yeah.
So everything is history. And in these movies, everybody's still alive. It's young people that are in these movies.
Yeah. You know, this would lead you to believe that Henry and Amy and Julia Vasquez are still alive somewhere.
Right. Right.
And boy, I'd love to hear from them.
Yes, absolutely. Was it just some mental illness or was it real?
Good question. But when Father Escobel is poking the shit out of that little kid, I laughed so hard.
Yes.
It was completely inappropriate.
He forgot to be praying. He thought, I'm going to choke him.
This kid is talking mad shit. I'm going to fight him.
Instead of praying, I'm going to kill him. That was pretty funny. That when he jumped up there, jumped over there, and started choking that cat. I thought, oops.
Well, what do you say that kid weighed?
10 pounds?
40, 11? 50 pounds? Soaking wet?
He was very thin.
Yeah.
Very thin. So, goodness. Oh, that was funny.
Yeah.
There were cute parts in it, and then there were, you know, some stuff that made you really think.
You know? Yeah.
It was... I think I enjoyed this movie. I think it was very thought-provoking. You know, wondering what,
yeah.
You know, does this really happen? You know, is this for real? Are there really people out there like that?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah, I don't know.
Such things.
Yeah.
Weird. But I enjoyed it. I think I would watch it again.
I thought it was, yeah, I wasn't mad at it. I literally, I was expecting this to be a pile of garbage.
Really?
I was expecting this to be schlock from minute one.
Right. Right.
But I was pretty...
We were on the edges of our seats
yeah.
the whole time. And it did not feel like it went for as long as it did.
It really didn't.
Because we were just on the edges of our seats.
Yeah.
So, oh, it was interesting.
Yeah.
And we had our meal today.
Yes. There's no food in this None. Movie. Nobody is eating at all. And the only thing they even talked about was feeding that pig that they shot at the beginning.
Right.
Which you don't even see that pig eating.
Nope.
So I dug a little further and what's the Pope's favorite meal?
Pope Francis's favorite meal.
And I landed, because they talked about the new Pope, Pope Leo. And, you know, he's from Chicago, so, you know, he's a pizza guy. And I'm just like, we've had pizza. We've had yep. pizza to death.
Yep.
Let me see what another Pope said. And I went back to Francis. And it said that one of his favorite meals was baked chicken. And who the hell don't love some baked chicken?
I have baked chicken often.
So, and like, there was a whole list of things that Pope Francis liked, and gnocchi was one of the things on there. I love a little piece of gnocchi.
I've never had it before. It was delicious.
It's pasta made out of potato and wheat.
Yep.
It's fabulous. So my mom made some baked chicken, and I made some gnocchi, and Justin bought us Sicilian breadsticks that were on markdown. He said, you guys have to have these with your movie. And I said, oh, okay. So I cooked them.
And they were delicious, too.
They were pretty good, too.
I can't believe they're on markdown. That means they're getting rid of them.
Probably.
Unfortunate.
Yeah. And I put pictures of that in our Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. So that we had a very, very nice meal.
Yeah. You know,
delicious breakfast. And I'm going to get some of that gnocchi and put it in my freezer so I can have it.
Yeah. And it's really, really hard to cook.
Yes.
You know, you boil some water, you dump it in for a few minutes till it gets hot, you dump it out, and then you season it however you want.
Yeah. And Alexis added some butter and lemon.
And garlic and herbs.
It was delicious.
It was perfect.
Yes.
It accompanied the chicken perfectly.
Yes. Yes. Because all I did, I put a little garlic oil in the pan, which I love garlic oil. And then I just seasoned I had chicken tenders in the freezer. And salt, pepper, and Italian seasoning. And that's really all it was. And it was delicious. It's that garlic oil. I love that garlic
oil. That garlic oil is so good.
Yep. Yep. I love it.
I've never had anything bad in relation to that.
Yep. So anyway, but it was delicious. So that was our meal for the day. And now we just have a few deaths to report. One of Alexis is really sad about this. Joe Don Baker.
Oh, I'm terribly sad about this. If you're a Mystery Science fan like I am, you know Mitchell. You know Final Justice.
Yeah.
You know, and who knew he was still alive? And who knew he was so old?
Right. He died at 89, and there was no cause. He was 89. There could be a million causes.
Yeah, the wind could have blown across him the wrong way.
Right. Right. Another one is Denise Alexander, died at 85. She was an actress, and she was many years on Days of Our Lives.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of people know her from there. But do you young people watch the soap operas? Did you watch the soap operas?
What did And I only watched them because, when I babysat, the older kids of the kid I was babysitting would watch. They would watch one, and then when I was working, there were girls that watched.
Young and the Restless,
No, it was.
Days of Our Lives,
No.
General Hospital.
Nope.
Let's see what else. Secret Storm.
I can't tell you what it is, but I got sucked into that for a while.
Okay. I watched Days of Our, or not Days of Our Lives.
As the World Turns.
As the World
That's what
Turns,
I watched.
like the sands through the hourglass. No,
That's
that's
Days
the
of My
Days of Our
Lives.
Lives. What's the As the it'll come to me. I'll be driving home, and that'll come to me. I really only watched Young and the Restless, and I bet you I could turn that on today, and know exactly what was happening.
Fall right into it.
Right? Yes. And then this is another local. This is a local one. Bob Kelly, radio disc jockey, died at 84. He long time suffered with Parkinson's.
Who
He'd
knew?
had a fall a while back, several months ago, and really kind of died from complications from the fall.
Oh, it's too bad. But
But
Kelly and Staples
yeah,
were on the radio for a billion years together.
that was my childhood. I remember in 1965, I got a transistor radio, and that's what I listened to, WTOD. I listened to their, Bob Kelly on the radio. So, as far back as I can remember, Bob Kelly has been a part of my life. And then they went into the when he joined up with Staples, he kind of went into country music, and I did not listen to him then.
No, but when I listened to them, they were on 93.5.
They did kind of
The
like a little,
oldie station.
yeah, a talk and oldies. Yeah. They came around, it's all in the cycle. Now both those guys are gone, so.
It's crazy.
But 84, I mean, that's.
That's a long life.
Yeah, that's it. So,
Wow, okay.
not too many deaths this time. And I looked for some. There were a couple of other deaths that I didn't recognize any of the names.
Okay.
So, I didn't write them down.
Sure.
But it was all mostly very old people this time. Very old. I think 85 is very old.
It's up there.
So, yikes. Yikes. And today I got up early and I watched the Pope's Mass. That was very pleasant, but I had to show J.D. Vance's big ass head. Could have lived without that.
Going back to Ed and Lorraine Warren in their home in, I don't know, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, wherever the Christ they're from, they had a little, museum that you could walk through with artifacts from their hauntings and shit.
Yes.
And one of them was the Annabelle doll, the Raggedy Ann named Annabelle
No.
and apparently that doll has been on tour lately.
Really? Even I know about the Annabelle doll.
And somebody the posts on Threads about it was so funny that this one said, okay, hear me out. We take J.D. Vance and we take the Annabelle doll and we put them in a loft room together and just wait.
Who's gonna win?
So I responded to that and I sent it to my friend and I said the unholiest of cage matches where J.D. Vance would almost certainly win.
Yeah, he's on a hot streak right now.
Somebody was like, the fact that nobody mentioned there being a cage and that's where your mind went was hilarious. And I was just like, listen, I'm from Ohio. It's like beyond Thunderdome over here. And JD Vance would thrive in the Thunderdome.
He's an Ohioan. What can I say?
He would thrive.
Yeah. My goodness. Yeah.
So, we'll see what happens because that Annabelle doll's been on tour and people have been opening her little cage and everything.
Oh
So,
my God.
who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, and JD's going around spreading death and destruction everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
So, there he was there in Rome. I thought, who let him
Well,
in?
he's got to make amends for killing Francis.
Yeah, but he's on a hot streak right
I
now.
know he is. It's We really shouldn't let him out of a dark room.
Oh, no. Oh, and it's funny that so many people are outraged that the Pope's not more American than he is.
He lived for in Peru for like 30 years.
He's not really an American. He lived in Peru for all those years, and then he's lived since then in Rome.
Yeah.
He's not an American. Yeah, when he comes home to visit his family, he goes to the baseball game and eats hot dogs and, but he's not an American.
No.
Not anymore.
And if you see Trump trying to take credit for it,
Oh,
I
good
said
Lord,
they had
no.
to get an American in there.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm not even surprised that he would take credit for it.
No.
Good Lord.
But I don't know. I've heard good things and I've heard bad things about this new one. And
We'll see.
yeah, we'll see. We'll see what he does.
Yeah.
Pope Francis was just an all-around good guy who was just trying to do good things.
Yeah.
And so I don't think we'll see another like him
No.
in our lifetimes.
No, No, not at all. Not at all. But, Pope Leo was a missionary and he went to Peru, although and stayed there all those years. So there's got to be some good there.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Hopefully we'll hope for the best. But his personal trainer did not even know he was so high up in the Catholic Church that he didn't know until he saw him on TV that he was some guy like that.
Oh.
Pope has a personal trainer?
Listen, the Pope has a Twitter account. Like, we are in the end of days, I
Yes,
think.
we have literally stepped into the now.
Yeah.
Yes, he has a Twitter account. He has opinions. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. So, yeah, fun things.
Yeah. In other news, we have changed our logo.
We have. Oh, that's exciting news.
I have tried to get hip with the kids. I've been trying to use apps and AI, and I have just not been having any luck. And a little girl at work said, ChatGPT. I use ChatGPT for everything. See what ChatGPT can do. And then mom had been sending me reels of babies talking and it's very all very cute. And then she sent me a reel of how
How did you
they
pick?
make those. And I knew it had to be AI.
Yeah.
And I was just like, well, why can't I use that same theory and make us a cool logo?
And she did.
So I did. So thank you, ChatGPT.
It is just as cute as can be.
Yeah. Mom is having the time of her life. You can see it on her face. And I'm just sitting there like, kind of don't want to be here, but like also I'm having a little bit of fun, but like I don't want to let anybody know that I'm having a little bit of fun.
Right. You can just see it's all written on her face, like, oh no. She's at it again.
So let us know what you feel about it. We love it. We're going to keep it. So, I mean, you're not going to tell us to get rid of it, but tell us that you like it because we need the affirmation.
Right. No, Lex does. I don't because I think it's great. I look awful. I look awful.
Oh, listen, it didn't do us. It didn't do either of us any favors.
It is so cute. It's just so it's perfect for us.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Yes.
I think it's pretty funny. My hair is the wrong color. It saw the blonde streak in the front of my head and made all of my hair blonde.
Yeah.
Which is, fine. Whatever.
And for some reason, it made my hair white. I don't know, but whatever.
Your hair is really light in the gray spectrum.
Yes, it is. Yes, I know.
And if I didn't use purple shampoo on my hair would be very light on the gray spectrum, too.
I use purple shampoo, but it only makes my hair sparkly.
Yeah, my hair turns purple.
Yeah. Out in the sunshine, my hair is sparkly.
Yeah. Well, that's fun.
Whatever.
So yeah, check out our new logo. It's everywhere. I managed to get it everywhere painstakingly.
Yes.
Everything was such a pain in the ass.
But it is adorable.
It's very
I'm hard. So glad that she figured it out because it's just, she sent me several of them and they were all as cute as can be, but this one I think is the best.
Yeah.
It's, you just looking at me like, oh, not again.
I went on, I had made a cartoon version of myself earlier in the day. I'd made a cartoon version of Justin earlier in the day. Justin's didn't look like him. And that person's head was more round. Justin's head is more oval.
Uh-huh.
It just didn't look like him. I later put the same pictures in and said, make me like a Valentine of these two faces. And it really does look more like Justin, but Justin's like, I hate this so much.
Oh, no.
And I was just like, I'm having so much fun with this that you don't even know what I'm doing right now. It's like, aww. Look at this. Like, he's just like, that doesn't.
Oh my God, that's adorable.
It looks like Justin without looking like Justin at all. Because that guy's like really happy. Justin's never that happy.
Oh my God. Oh, it's cute. But I can see why he doesn't like that. I can see that. But I love it. I think they're adorable. That doesn't look much like you either.
No.
But
it doesn't look enough not like me to not be me.
Exactly.
And also, I had a hoodie on yesterday, so.
Okay.
I was freezing yesterday. That's why.
Yeah,
that's why most of the pictures.
Warm.
I don't know. It was really cold in here. That's why most of, look at this one. I'm wearing a hoodie there.
Oh, okay. Well, we both look like we have t-shirts on.
Yeah.
But, I think they're adorable. They're just adorable. I'm so glad you did it because they turned out, they are cartoons of us.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I think we look great.
Yes.
I think that just embodies us just to a T.
Yes,
where
absolutely.
You are having so much fun and I'm trying to be too cool for school by not having near as much fun, but also still having a little bit of fun.
Right.
Not showing it.
Okay. Well, that's absolutely you.
Yeah.
I love it. It's fun. It's great. You did a great job on it.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you sat down and tried to have a little fun.
Yeah. God, it was a pain in the ass, though.
I can imagine.
And then it was being such a dick, like, I want you to make this picture of Justin. They're like, well, do you have permission to make a picture of this guy? And it's just like, yes, I do. Why would I put this here if I didn't? Like, I know there's psychopaths in the world, but I'm not one of those.
What? Wait a minute. But you're not one of them today.
Well, yeah.
What? You got permission to make a picture of a face?
Yeah, it was like, make the picture. Stop being a baby.
Well, that's absolutely true. And I've heard that before. I have a picture of you when you were younger. You look just like Angelina Jolie.
Weird.
Honest to God. And I went somewhere and I asked, I wanted to get it blown up because I had just a small picture. And the guy says, well, do you have an agreement to do a picture like this? And I said, what? And he said, you know, you need to have an approval to do a picture like that. And I said, I took this picture, or my daughter took this picture. Well, this is Angelina Jolie, isn't it? No, thanks, but no.
Oh, weird, because I definitely do not look like her. I look like I ate her.
You have a beautiful face. I will dig that picture out and show it to you.
Okay.
But yeah.
So, is it because we both have green eyes?
And you have that ethereal look on your face all the time? Could be. Green eyes are cool eyes.
Yeah. It's so funny. Like, most of the people I know have green eyes, but, like, green eyes make up, like, 3% of the entire world population.
You recently read that, and I thought, and there's something to that, a green-eyed thing. I know a lot of people with green eyes.
Yeah.
So I thought, that's weird. So yeah, we're something special.
Yeah.
We've known that a long time.
I mean, sure.
But no, I don't know anybody in my family that has green eyes. My dad had brown eyes. My mom had brown eyes. You know, but I know otherwise people with green eyes, so.
Yeah.
Weird. It's weird.
It's weird.
But yeah, people with green eyes are something special. I don't know. You know, maybe we're part aliens.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I've been watching Ancient Aliens again.
I said something at work about the new Pope that upset a religious lady, and she had to say something, and I was just like, you know what? That sounds like alien abduction more than religious intervention. And I was just like,
oh my goodness. Yes. You said alien abduction to a religious person?
Yeah. Oh, she doesn't like me, and the feeling is mutual. I don't give a fuck what that lady thinks about me.
Oops.
Get off the keys.
Our producer is back doing crazy things. Hello, Tallulah. I've got Ash on one side of me, and she is just not happy that I'm letting him sit here with me.
Well, she got down because Justin went in the bathroom, but Jelly has come up here. Jelly's at the end of the sofa.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, he'd been looking out the window.
Yeah.
But she wanted to come up and sit with me, but then she saw that Ash is sitting with me, so.
Oh.
So she wanted then to produce something special on the computer.
Oh. You can come over here, you just can't tap dance on the keyboard.
Why not, Mom?
That's the only reason I want to be near you.
Yes.
What's your glasses?
I know they're sliding. Look at her little tiny legs.
Come on.
She goes, no, you made room now. I wanted to be on top of the computer. I don't want to be on your lap. She's been lovey-dovey today.
Yeah, she has. That's because the boys had a little kerfuffle.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it got everybody all bent out of sorts.
Yes. I think she wanted to be in on it, but she happened to be at the end of the line, and then Mom yelled. And she jumped out of the way.
Because if Dad had to come out, Dad would have beat everybody's ass. Dad doesn't have any time for these guys picking on Jelly Bean. And they like to try to start fights with him. And I tell Jelly every single time that either one of them get too close to him, I'm like, Jelly, just fucking beat their ass.
Because Jelly is bigger than both of them.
Yes.
Jelly Bean is, I always thought he was a little panther giraffe.
Yeah.
Because when he came to them, his legs were a foot long.
Oh my God. He was all legs and head.
Yes. I mean, unbelievable. And he is still tall.
He's huge. He's huge.
Yeah.
He is a big boy. And if he wanted to thump somebody, he could, but he just doesn't because he's such a sweet little thing.
Yep.
They take his kindness for weakness.
Yep. He is a lover, not a fighter.
And that just puts their dad into a state that will ruin the whole day for all of us.
Yep. So Ash is hiding out beside me.
Yeah.
So he figured he did his badness for the day, and Grandma yelled at him, said she didn't love him. So.
Oh, well, Dad has said much worse. So.
So he came and found a warm spot with me.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
I don't know what we're going to watch next movie because this kind of just fell in our laps.
It did. It did. It really did.
We're still a few movies away from our favorites countdown to 100.
I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah.
I've still only got 3.
Well, that's fine. I can fill in the rest if you don't want to.
All right, then I'm not going to rack my brain anymore.
Okay.
And I knew you could cover it, so.
I started watching a movie yesterday that I forgot was so good, and so we'll probably have to watch that.
All right.
But yeah, I'm going to have to find a physical copy of one of them because it's not streaming anywhere anymore. It was streaming somewhere the last time you went on vacation because I watched it at your house.
Oh my gosh.
And when were you on vacation? Just a couple months ago?
Yeah.
Month and a half ago?
Wait. In April.
Okay.
No, it was in March. It was in March.
Yeah, so 2 months ago. Yes, yeah, it's not streaming anywhere anymore.
Huh. Well, isn't that how, you know, we've seen that many times. The movie was on and we turned it on Sunday and no movie.
Huh.
So, I mean, we have seen that quite a number of times. So, yeah, all right.
So, we'll figure something out.
We will.
Go watch our TikTok. Hopefully it is watchable. I don't know exactly what ended up uploading. I had a lot of problems.
Yeah, it kept being weird, so we'll see.
Yeah. And, again, let us know about the logo. We're dying to hear from you.
Absolutely. It's fun.
All right, and I guess until then, we'll see you when we see you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.